सुदुष्करं कर्म कृत्वा लोकपालैरपि प्रभुः अश्यत्य आचरितो राजन् यशो विपुलयां स्तव.
Translation: Sudushkaram,
impossible to perform.
Karma,
work.
Kritva,
after performing.
Lokapalaihi,
by great personalities.
Api,
even.
Prabhu,
quite competent.
Aishyati,
will come back.
Achirataha,
without delay.
Rajan,
my dear king.
Yashaha,
reputation.
Vipulayan,
causing to become great.
Tava,
your.
Translation: my dear king, your son is very competent. He will perform activities which would be impossible even for great kings and sages. Very soon he will complete his task and come back home. You should know that he will also spread your reputation all over the world. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Here in this verse, Narada Muni has described Dhruva Maharaj as Prabhu. This word is applicable to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes the spiritual master is addressed as Prabhupada. Prabhu means the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Pada means post. According to Vaishnava philosophy, the spiritual master occupies the post of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or in other words, he is the bona fide representative of the Supreme Lord. Dhruva Maharaj is also described here as Prabhu because he is an Acharya of the Vaishnava school. Another meaning of Prabhu is master of the senses, just like the word Swami. Another significant word is Sudushkaram, very difficult to perform. What was the task that Dhruva Maharaj undertook? The most difficult task in life is to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Dhruva Maharaj would be able to do that. We must remember that Dhruva Maharaj was not fickle. He was determined to execute his service and then come back. Every devotee therefore should be determined that in this life he will be able to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead and by that process go back home, back to Godhead. That is the perfection of the highest mission of life.
ओम ज्ञानतिमिरान्थस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं. जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद. हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे. हरे राम 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 हरे हरे.
हरे कृष्णा. हियर नारद मुनि इज टॉकिंग टू हुम? King Uttanapad, about his son Dhruva Maharaj. Narada Muni, being a Trikalagya, or who knows past, present and future, is able to predict what's going to happen to Maharaj Dhruva. He is going to execute his vrata, his tapa, his austerities, and he is going to attain perfection and he is going to return to his home. So this task is considered Sudushkaram, and Srila Prabhupada elaborates on the meaning of the word Prabhu. So here Prabhupada writes that Prabhu means the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the Supreme Lord is known as Prabhu. And at the same time, even a spiritual master or a bona fide representative of the Supreme Lord is also known as Prabhu or Prabhupada. So here Dhruva Maharaj is addressed as Prabhu because He is an Acharya who exemplified how to satisfy the Supreme Lord to perfection. Srila Prabhupada, in a few places, explains the meaning of Prabhupada. Okay. So Srila Prabhupada himself explains the meaning of Prabhupada in few purports. For example, this is one of such purports. Similarly, in Back to Godhead magazine, Srila Prabhupada wrote a short article explaining the meaning of Prabhupada. And also in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada took the opportunity to explain the meaning of Prabhu and Prabhupada. So we will try to understand the meaning further on this word, and then we will move on to other important points in this purport. So Srila Prabhupada was addressed originally when he landed in America and when he started this Krishna consciousness mission in the storefront as Swamiji. So all the devotees, all the disciples would call Srila Prabhupada as Swamiji. So in 1968, when Srila Prabhupada was corresponding to a letter, he told his secretary that this is not the most appropriate way to address one's own spiritual master. One can use the word like Guru Maharaj or Vishnupad or Prabhupad. He said, of this, the highest respect is given by addressing as Prabhupad. Then Srila Prabhupada's secretary asked Srila Prabhupada, so can we address you as Prabhupad? And Prabhupada said, yes, you can address me as Prabhupada. See, so how to address the spiritual master, devotees didn't know. And Srila Prabhupada instructed them how to address him with utmost respect, because that is very much beneficial for the disciple. To give respect to the spiritual master is very, very important for a disciple. And by that, one takes the spiritual master seriously and sees the spiritual master as a bona fide representative of the Supreme Lord. So Srila Prabhupada instructed and the devotees accepted. And from then onwards, Swamiji was known as Srila Prabhupada. So this is the most appropriate way to address great personality and Acharya, a great teacher. At the same time, if you read Leelamrita, the biography of Srila Prabhupada, we can see even some of his godbrothers became envious hearing Srila Prabhupada being addressed as Srila Prabhupada. So this was in 1972. Srila Prabhupada organized the first Gaurapurnima festival in Mayapur. So his American disciples were there. They were making all the arrangement, and this festival is going to be very, very important for ISKCON, because ISKCON's international headquarters is going to be established in Sridham, Mayapur. So it's a very momentous occasion for ISKCON society. So they made all the arrangement and everything was there. And Srila Prabhupada's disciples had written Srila Prabhupada's name as A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And there was the installation of Ananta, because they created a big hole, a big pit, and inside Ananta was established, Lord Ananta was established, and on top the whole building is going to be constructed. So Prabhupada's disciples came, everyone assembled, and there was a speech. Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers, they spoke very highly about Srila Prabhupada for achieving such a feat. And then they installed Ananta, they put the first groundbreaking ceremony and installed in Ananta, then started the construction process. However, after a few days, a group of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers came to meet Srila Prabhupada, and they were in a very angry mood. So they entered Srila Prabhupada's room, and Srila Prabhupada said, all his disciples, now you please get out from here. So we will have a private conversation. So Srila Prabhupada now is going to have a conversation with all his godbrothers. They said, why are you using the word Prabhupada to address you? Because that word is reserved for our spiritual master, our Guru Maharaj, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Because all Prabhupada and his godbrothers used to address his Guru as Prabhupada. Then how can he use that title to address you? So Prabhupada said, I am not personally using that title. And he said, look at my letterhead. He took his letterhead and he showed to his godbrothers. It is only Tridandi Bhikshu A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. There was no Prabhupada. He said, I am personally not using this title, but my disciples are addressing me in this way. Then they didn't argue any further. Then Prabhupada arranged prasadam for all. They had prasadam and then they departed. Later Srila Prabhupada said, actually, my godbrothers are envious of me. Because what is wrong for disciples to address their spiritual master as Prabhupada? There is nothing wrong in it. And if they are really, really happy about and they really, really want to please their spiritual master, that is Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, then they should be very happy to see the achievements of Srila Prabhupada, because I am simply acting as a representative of my Guru Maharaj, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj. So whatever I am achieving, it is an achievement of my Guru. In that way, even if my disciples are glorifying me as Prabhupada, what is wrong in it? So Prabhupada said, this is simply because of envy. So if you want to compare, then compare in terms of preaching achievements. In terms of following the principles, even all the disciples of Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj are glorious because they are keeping up the principles and they are pushing on the mission in their local area. However, spreading this Krishna consciousness far and wide, if you compare my achievement, then they need to accept. Prabhupada was very humble. At the same time, he made the point that it is nice and it is very positive and it is really recommended to address Srila Prabhupada as Srila Prabhupada because of his preaching mission and his achievement, because he is an empowered representative of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is an empowered representative of his spiritual master Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Now Prabhu has another meaning, as it is mentioned. It means that master of the senses, just like Swami. And Srila Prabhupada was asked to explain the meaning of Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada wrote a short article explaining the meaning of Prabhupada. So I will read that from Back to Godhead magazine. The word Prabhupada is a term of the utmost reverence in Vedic religious circles, and it signifies a great saint even among saints. It makes a lot of sense when we talk about Srila Prabhupada, because there is another meaning to Srila Prabhupada, the word Prabhupada. Prabhupada means, okay, at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, the spiritual master is situated at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. That is one meaning. And another meaning of Prabhupada is that at whose lotus feet all masters sit. Okay, so here when you see Srila Prabhupada, all masters, all great spiritual teachers, they recognize the unique position of Srila Prabhupada. So one time Srila Prabhupada was in a morning walk with his disciples, and his disciples had danda in their hand, the stick, the sannyasa stick. And Prabhupada didn't have any danda. He had his walking stick, but he didn't have any danda. So since all his disciples had danda, one person, he asked the Swami, so are you the leader of everyone? Because they had danda. So, no, they said, we are not the leader. Srila Prabhupada is the leader because he has given us this danda. He has given us this stick. You understand? So, all the masters sit at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. Even other Sampradaya Acharyas now greatly rever and recognize the position of Srila Prabhupada. The Matha Acharya of Pejavar Math. Pejavar Math is coming in the line of Madhva Sampradaya. They are based in Udupi. So current Swami, you know, Pejavar Swami, he is over 90. Okay, he took sannyas at the age of 8. So you can understand, he's the one of the longest serving sannyasi. You know, at the age of 8 he took sannyas, and he's 94 or 95. He's very, very old. And he told, he accepts Srila Prabhupada is the Acharya. We have to follow Srila Prabhupada. And he recognizes sannyasis in his mission to go abroad and preach. Because according to the, you know, traditional smartha kind of principle, sannyasis would never cross the ocean. Yes, there is an injunction in the Vedic literature that people who are born in Bharatavarsha shouldn't cross the ocean. Why? Because crossing the ocean is for sense gratification. Why come to the West? For sense gratification. Why did they come to the West? Just for sense gratification. That's why I came here. Did anyone from India come here to pursue Krishna consciousness? Okay, there is Melbourne Mahaprabhu temple, so I should go there. Okay, there is one rare soul, but he was already a devotee, so he came for preaching. So otherwise, everyone comes to the Western world to make some money and to have a good time. So that's why there is an injunction, you shouldn't go overseas, because it is for sense gratification. So Srila Prabhupada or his representatives, when they go all over the world, it is not for sense gratification, but that is to help. That's a very classic difference that we can see between us and Srila Prabhupada. When Srila Prabhupada reached the shore of America, what did he write? This place is covered with passion and ignorance. Whereas if we go to America or if we come to Australia, what we see? It's a place of opportunities. That is the contrast in the consciousness. So yes, Srila Prabhupada is, you know, saint even among saints. The word actually has two meanings. I'm continuing reading the explanation of Prabhupada. The word actually has two meanings. First, one at whose feet were there are many Prabhus. Okay? At his feet there are many Prabhus. The second meaning is one who is always found at the lotus feet of Krishna, the Supreme Master. In the line of disciplic succession through which Krishna consciousness is conveyed to mankind, there have been a number of figures of such spiritual importance as to be called Prabhupada. Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada executed the will of his master, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and therefore he and his associates Goswamis are called Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur executed the will of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and therefore he is also addressed as Prabhupada. Our spiritual master, Om Vishnupada 108, Sri Srimad Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, has in the same way executed the will of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada in carrying the message of love of Krishna to the Western world, and therefore we Americans and European humble servants of His Divine Grace from all over the different centers of the Sankirtan movement have followed in the footsteps of Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada and prefer to address His Grace, our spiritual master, as Prabhupada, and He has kindly said yes. So this is from Leelamrita. Bhakti Sarup Damodar Maharaj writes this. Yeah. Sorry, Sasarup Das Maharaj writes this. So it makes a lot of sense, because Rupa Goswami is known as Prabhupada because he executed the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Similarly, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur executed the order of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and established 108 temples throughout India and established a temple for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his birthplace. Now, Srila Prabhupada has fulfilled the vision and mission of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and all parampara up to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, he deserved to be addressed as Srila Prabhupada. So, even though at one point his godbrothers became quite envious of him. After telling this, we will read a little bit more about Prabhupada as we go further. And meanwhile, in the purport, there are very, very important points mentioned. One is, it is not so easy to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's why it is mentioned Sudushkaram. Sudushkaram means so difficult to do. Sudushkaram. So please, Supreme Personality of Godhead is so difficult, and Dhruva Maharaj has made it possible and is going to do that. That's why here Narada Muni is glorifying Dhruva Maharaj, and he is also making the point that Dhruva Maharaj's austerity and his success is going to even fill the world with reputation of Uttana path. Right? That's why he is in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. So for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, his father's name will also be glorified. Okay, now in this, the important point is, if you want to do this Sudushkaram task, the most difficult task, we need to have determination. Without determination, it's not possible. You can read here in the purport that Dhruva Maharaj's determination was not fickle. He was determined to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as devotees, it is very, very important to have determination in our devotional service. So, we can ask where the determination is coming from. Nischaya, where is it coming from? If we want to have nischaya or determination, one prerequisite is faith. If there is no faith, there is not going to be any determination. If you don't have sufficient faith in the process, then there is no question of determination. So where the faith is coming from? Faith is the intrinsic property of the soul. To have faith is the intrinsic property of the soul. Now, depending on, there can be different kinds of faith, in mode of ignorance, in mode of passion, in mode of goodness, and ultimately in transcendence. So faith can be in within the material modes or beyond the material modes. So faith can be there, and based on the faith one can have determination. That's where a devotee's life is starting with faith, atho shraddha, right? Little bit of faith. So when we start our Krishna consciousness, we are checking out. Yeah, it's not too bad. Let me try. So these are nice people. The prasadam is good. Kirtan is good. So that is good enough to embark on the journey of Krishna consciousness. That little bit of faith. However, the interesting thing is that when we talk about different steps in Krishna consciousness, starting from Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, or the association of the devotees, then Bhajana Kriya, practice of devotional service, then Anartha, Nirvritti, that is unwanted things in the heart is gone, then one comes to Nishtha or steady state. Okay? Then it is Ruchi, taste, Asakti, intense taste, then Bhava, and then Prema, up to the love of Godhead. So these are the different progressive stages in devotional service. So one may think that initially we need to have faith, adho shraddha, and that's about it. No, when we go to Sadhu Sangha, association of the devotees, then our faith is increasing further. Then when we come to Bhajana Kriya, our faith is increasing even further. When it comes to Anartha Nirvritti, our faith is increasing further. When we come to Nishtha, our faith is even further. And the faith increases all the way up to Prema. Prema, the faith is complete. So that's why when Krishna was with his cowherd boyfriends, the gopas, and when they were surrounded by the fire, the forest fire, what did Krishna ask his gopa friends? Just close the eyes. So they had the faith. If you are surrounded by fire and someone asks you, I will solve all the matter, what you had to do? You had to just close your eyes. We say, okay. No, probably we won't do it. The Krishna's cowherd boyfriend, they had faith. They said, okay, close the eyes. They closed the eyes and Krishna swallowed the whole fire. So this is faith. So faith is in perfection in the stage of prema, and throughout the faith is gradually increasing. So is the determination. Can you see? So determination is not the property when we start our Krishna consciousness. We may have shown determination in our material life because we had so much of faith in material life. People have faith in material life, so people are ready to work hard year after year. A career of 30 years, no problem. 30 years I'll work, no problem. I want to climb up the corporate ladder, no problem. Because there is faith that this position is going to help me. The money that I'm going to get, it is going to help me enjoy. And I'm going to get satisfaction in the material endeavors. Even though at many times one is let down, that is the nature of material energy, but still one has the faith. Even though people are failed hundreds of times in one's material pursuits, still one has so much of faith to go for it. One gets something, we can see, if I get that, I'll be happier. Get that, then what happens? That happiness is gone. It's fickle. And still one has the faith, if I get the next thing, I'll be happy. This is the life of a materialist. Is it right? So much of faith is there in the process of materialism. So there is so much of determination. So we need to transplant that faith and that determination in Krishna consciousness. Then our life will be perfect. Just like the advice to Billamangal Thakur by Chintamani, the prostitute. If you had a fraction of attachment that you have for me, if you have for Gopal, then your life will be perfect. So Krishna consciousness is nothing but where we are going to put our faith. That's all. So this is very, very important. And Srila Prabhupada demonstrated his determination. He tried again and again in India to establish Krishna consciousness, and he was a failure. And finally he understood it is the desire of the spiritual master and the Lord to go to the West. And he had to approach Sumati Murarji again and again to get a free ticket to America. He did that. He was tested again in Jaladuta. He had to go through severe heart attacks. He passed the test. He again went to America. There he was thinking, I'm not going to be successful. Maybe I have to go back. Even he was thinking, maybe I have to go back. But let me give it a try. He went on and on for quite some time till something happened. So there is constant test, and there is constant test to our determination. Even establishing temples, even in the case of Juhu temple, Srila Prabhupada was tested and his determination was tested, and he came out successful because of his determination. So here we can see Dhruva Maharaj, his determination was first tested by his own spiritual master, Guru Narada Muni. He said, why do you worry about silly things? Children, just play and be happy. Just don't keep such kind of hot feelings towards your father or stepmother. You just go home and play. It's okay. You can forgive them. But what did Dhruva Maharaj said? No, it's not possible. I am a Kshatriya. This advice is suitable for Brahmanas, but not for a Kshatriya. So Narada Muni says, Aho Tejo Kshatriyanam. See the prowess, determination of Kshatriyas. They cannot be insulted. They cannot withstand insult. They had to fight against. And indeed, Dhruva Maharaj did. Now, I will narrate a pastime in this regard. Before that, I will just little bit more describe the development of faith and determination. So, if we want a steady determination, we need steady faith. Yes? If you want steady determination, we need steady faith. And it has to be matured to some degree. And that is the stage of Nishtha. So it is good to understand what is the stage of Nishtha in devotional service. Generally, Nishtha means steadiness. So, steady in devotional service. So one can consider steadiness means one is steady in one's service. Year after year, year after year, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. Then one can say, okay, he's very steady, so he's in the platform of Nishtha. One is regularly doing sadhana year after year, 1 decade, 2 decades. Okay, one can say one is steady, one is Nishtha. However, when it comes to the actual definition of Nishtha, Nishtha is defined in terms of bhajana kriya. So, generally, unfortunately, the bhajana kriya or the devotional practice that we perform is called anishta bhajana kriya. Anishta bhajana kriya means unsteady devotional service. Even chanting is unsteady. It is anishta bhajana kriya. So our endeavor is to move from anishta bhajana kriya or unsteady sadhana to steady sadhana. So anishta to nishta bhajana kriya. So Srila Prabhupada says, one can say that one has come to the platform of nishta if heart is 75% pure. How much? 75% pure. Because if 75% pure, then one can be steady in one's chanting. What is the meaning of steady in chanting? It's not that I am counting 16 rounds. Okay, I have done 16 rounds and keep away my mala. No. That steadiness means one can constantly hear the holy name when one is chanting on a steady basis. So one has the purity of heart to focus on the holy name. So that is nishta bhajana kriya. So it takes some endeavor to come to the platform of nishta bhajana kriya or steady hearing the holy name. So that is the real steadiness. So that is based on purity of heart. And of course, if one is pure in heart and if one is able to chant with that attention, naturally his service will be or her service will be steady. So simply seeing externally, if somebody is just steady in one service, that doesn't mean that one is actually on the platform of nishta internally. Because one can be by nature very dutiful. By definition, if somebody is doing a task, even if works outside in the karmi world, he or she may be very dutiful. So he is able to do his duties very well throughout, year after year. You can see so many people like that in this world. So even if they come to Krishna consciousness, they may be able to transplant that, they may be able to do that externally, which is very important because that is going to help our internal aspect. But we can say one has come to nishta only when heart is 75% pure, or internally we can see the chanting is really fixed internally, not just externally. So this actually helped to come to the platform of steady determination, and which is absolutely necessary to succeed in Krishna consciousness. And we all know chapter 6, 24th verse in Bhagavad Gita, there is a pastime, there is a story of sparrow, right? Because the ocean took away the egg of the sparrow, and sparrow took a vow to empty the entire ocean by drinking the ocean. How is it possible? For a sparrow drinking the entire ocean, it's impossible. But the sparrow tried it with determination day after day. And everyone was laughing, the sparrow. It's just foolish. How can you dry up the entire ocean and get out the egg back? Impossible. But who understood this endeavor of sparrow? Garuda. Garuda came to know. Garuda is the king of all the birds. When Garuda came to know, Garuda thought, okay, I am going to help out this my little sparrow. So he went and told the ocean god that if you don't return the egg, I am going to empty you. So then the ocean became quite scared and returned the egg. So the point is, if we have determination, then the mercy will follow. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a beautiful pastime narrating determination of a great devotee. It's very instructive in our devotional service. So this is the pastime of King Pratapa Rudra. He was the king of Orissa, a great king, great Vaishnava, a pure devotee. And this is the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Pratapa Rudra, he approached the court pandit Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and inquired, I have heard that a great personality has arrived from Bengal. I have heard that he is very merciful, he is very kind, and his mission is to deliver the whole world. I would like to get an audience of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, indeed, he is very, very merciful, his mission is to save the entire world. And at this point he is not here, he is going to South India and soon he is going to return. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, he is not just an ordinary saint, but he is the Supreme Lord himself. At the same time Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, look, to giving an audience, that's not very easy. Because the Lord is independent. He said, why this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to South India? Why didn't you keep him in Jagannath Puri? Why Lord Chaitanya had to leave Jagannath Puri? Why didn't you make all the endeavors to keep him here? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, it's not possible because the Lord is all independent. So no one can control him. He's Swatantra. If he wants to go, he will go. No one can control. So Pratapirudra still told him, you know, somehow or other arrange a meeting with him so that I can see his lotus feet, I can speak to him. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, okay, we'll try. And meanwhile, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived and Bhattacharya requested the king, please arrange some accommodation for Lord Chaitanya in the vicinity of Lord Jagannath's temple. At the same time, he shouldn't be disturbed by lot of pilgrims. So he need his seclusion, but at the same time in the vicinity of the temple. So Prataparudra thought and he arranged accommodation in Kanshi Mishra's house. So there it is mentioned, when Bhattacharya told Kanshi Mishra about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's stay at his place, Kanshi Mishra became very happy. He was overjoyed. And in that, Srila Prabhupada explains the meaning of Prabhupada or Prabhu. In this verse, the word Prabhupada referring to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is significant. So the verse is Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's the Mathi Leela 10:23. Kashi Mishra kahe ami bada bhagyavan mora grihe Prabhupadar hobe avasthan. So Prabhupada writes, in this verse the word Prabhupada referring to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is significant. Regarding this, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada comments, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, Sri Krishna, and all his servants address him as Prabhupada. This means that there are many Prabhus taking shelter under his lotus feet. The pure Vaishnava is addressed as Prabhu, and this address is an etiquette observed between Vaishnavas. When many Prabhus remain under the shelter of the lotus feet of another Prabhus, the address Prabhupada is given. Sri Nityananda Prabhu and Sri Advaita Prabhu are also addressed as Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Advaita Prabhu and Sri Nityananda Prabhu are all Vishnu Tattva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. Therefore, all living entities are under their lotus feet. Lord Vishnu is the eternal Lord of everyone, and the representative of Lord Vishnu is the Lord's confidential servant. Such a person acts as a spiritual master for the neophyte Vaishnavas. Therefore, the spiritual master is as respectable as Sri Krishna Chaitanya or Lord Vishnu himself. For this reason, the spiritual master is addressed as Om Vishnupad or Prabhupada. The Acharya, the spiritual master, is generally respected by others as Sripad, and the initiated Vaishnavas are addressed as Prabhu. Prabhu, Prabhupada and Vishnupad are described in revealed scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat. In this regard, these scriptures present evidence accepted by unalloyed devotees. So Prabhupada is really establishing the meaning of Prabhupada. So here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is addressed as Prabhupada. It is of very significance for us. Now, Mahaprabhu arrived and he stayed in the house of Kashi Mishra. Then devotees after devotees started going to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Swarup Damodar Goswami went, Govinda, his servant, then Bhavananda Roy. Bhavananda Roy is the father of Ramananda Roy. So their five sons are there for Bhavananda Roy. So they all of them go and meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very happy. He said, your all five sons are Pancha Pandavas. You have five sons and they are all Pancha Pandavas. And you, Bhavananda Roy, you are, who is the father of Pancha Pandavas? Pandu, you are Pandu. So in my pastime, you are appearing as Bhavananda Roy. And your sons are Pancha Pandavas now in the form of Ramananda Roy. And he greatly glorified Ramananda Roy. Like that. Then all the devotees came, and even seniors to Mahaprabhu, they also approached Mahaprabhu like Paramananda Puri. So Mahaprabhu worshipped the lotus feet. Like that. Mahaprabhu became very, very happy. At the same time, finally all the devotees came. Then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya came. Then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya requested Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "We have a great king. He is a great devotee. And can you please give an audience to this great king, Prataparudra?" Mahaprabhu straight away rejected the request of Bhattacharya. He said, "I am a sannyasi, and a sannyasi can never meet a king. That is the greatest disrespect, that is the greatest pollution, because a king is a vishayi, a king is known for sense enjoyment, and I am in the renounced order, and there is no question of meeting a king." He said, "It is as bad as drinking poison. It is as bad as drinking poison. So there is no question for me in meeting King Prataparudra." And he said, "If you make such kind of request, I may not even see you." So Bhattacharya became quite scared by the statement of Mahaprabhu, and he left. Second, King Prataparudra pleaded to Ramananda Roy. He told Ramananda Roy, the king was overjoyed because Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Roy to give away his ministerial service and join Mahaprabhu in his pastimes. So he was a great minister for King Prataparudra and he was a great devotee. So Mahaprabhu told Ramananda Roy, "You leave your position and you come to me." So Ramananda Roy went up to King Prataparudra and requested that, "I want a retirement from your service." So King Prataparudra became overjoyed and he told, "You are so fortunate that you can serve Mahaprabhu in this way." So he gave him retirement and also he gave him all the allowance. So he will get paid even after retirement. So Ramananda Roy was very pleased. Then he requested Ramananda Roy, "But please do me a favor. You please tell Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give me your audience. I want to meet him." So Ramananda Roy said, "Yes, I will try my best." So Ramananda Roy went up to Mahaprabhu and Mahaprabhu became so happy seeing Ramananda Roy. Both of them embraced, both of them were crying because they are eternally associated in the spiritual world. Mahaprabhu is in the mood of Srimati Radharani and Ramananda Roy is Vishakha Sakhi, associate of Radharani in the spiritual world. So it was like both of them meeting, even when they met for the first time on the bank of Godavari, Mahaprabhu couldn't control his emotions. So even though all the Vedic Brahmanas were present, he tried to control his emotion, but he couldn't. And then he embraced Ramananda Roy and both of them embraced and rolled over in the dust. So there's such an intimate relationship between Ramananda Roy and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they had such a beautiful exchanges. And then Ramananda Roy told that, "Our king is a great person. And when I asked for retirement, not only he gave me retirement, but also he is giving me full salary. And he is giving me residence. Everything is organized by the king. So he is such a great devotee and he has such great bhav, emotions for the Lord. Even I don't have a fraction of such love that the king has for the Lord and for you." So Mahaprabhu was very pleased to hear that. Then he said, "Okay, that is very nice, because if the Lord's devotees are pleased, then surely Krishna will bestow his mercy upon this king." And then Ramananda Roy requested, "You know, why don't you give him your audience?" Then he said, "No, that's not really possible, because he is a king and I am a mendicant, I am a sannyasi. So there is no possibility of giving the audience." Then all the devotees from Bengal came and they were doing chanting and dancing after reaching Jagannath Puri, and Bhattacharya took king and showed all the devotees and they explained with the help of Govindanath Acharya, "Who are these devotees? They saw Nityananda Prabhu, they saw Advaita Acharya, they saw Srivast Thakur, they saw Haridas Thakur, they saw all the devotees from Bengal. They were chanting and dancing and the king got completely amazed and mesmerized seeing their chanting and dancing." So the king asked Bhattacharya, what I have heard so many different kirtans by different performers, but what kind of kirtan is this? Then Bhattacharya told, this is called Prema Sankirtan. Because all the devotees are in Prema and they are chanting and they are dancing in Prema. So we can see a fraction of that here. When Prabhu is leading the kirtan, it's in complete ecstasy. Everyone is in complete ecstasy. So the Lord himself is chanting and dancing with his associates. So that is Prema Sankirtan. King was completely astonished. He has never seen such a thing. And then all these devotees went to Jagannath temple and they had the Bada Kirtan, big Kirtan, and everyone was chanting and dancing for hour after hour. This going on and on. After witnessing that, King Prataparudra, he told Bhattacharya and Ramanandra Roy, somehow or other, I want to get the audience of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bhattacharya consoled the king saying, don't worry. It's just a matter of time because you have determination. So, yeah, then the episode finished. So, twice he attempted. Through Bhattacharya, didn't work out. Through Ramanandarao, it didn't work out. Third, king wrote a letter to Sarva Bhattacharya. Now that the Lord is in association of all his associates from Bengal, why don't you request all the devotees to petition for me to give me an audience? So Sarva Bhattacharya went and started reading this letter to Lord Nityananda, Advaita Acharya, Srivas Thakur, in front of all the devotees, even Swarup Dadar Goswami, in front of all the devotees. He read out the letter from the king. The king is telling, you devotees, please petition for me. I don't care about my kingdom. I don't care about my position. If this kingdom and this kingly position is an obstruction in attaining the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I am ready to give up everything and I am ready to be a mendicant. And I'll go to the street and beg. But still, I need the mercy of Mahaprabhu. So seeing the devotion of the king, even Nityananda Prabhu became completely moved. He said, see the great devotion of the Lord. Okay, now we have no choice but to approach the Lord and request him for his favor. So all the devotees went to Gambhira to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And who is the leader of the devotees? Lord Nityananda himself, Lord Balaram himself. And all the devotees were there with Lord Nityananda. They all approached Mahaprabhu and all of them stood in front of Mahaprabhu and no one could open their mouth. They were all looking at Mahaprabhu. Sometimes when you go in front of a great personality out of fear and respect, we cannot speak. Okay, we know what to speak, but we cannot speak. So in the same way, Lord Nityananda, nobody is speaking. So Mahaprabhu looked at them. Yeah, I know that you have something important to speak, but why don't you speak? So Lord Nityananda told, yeah, every one of us wants to speak to you, but we are a bit in fear to speak to you. So Mahaprabhu said, that's all right. Come on, okay, what do you want? So Lord Nityananda told, our king is such a great devotee, such a pure Vaishnava, he is ready to give up his own kingdom and to be ready to be a mendicant and ready to go and beg because he wants the mercy of you. So why don't you award him some mercy? Why don't you give him some audience? Mahaprabhu said, you are all learned people. You are all scholars. You know what is the real etiquette. How is it possible for a king to meet a sannyasi? And I'll be a joke among the crowd. People will joke about me. Why? Because a sannyasi, a renunciant, is meeting a vishayi. Vishayi means a sense gratifier. So it's not possible. Then Lord Nityananda told, okay, I have a solution to this problem. You don't have to personally meet him, but you can give your external garments to the king. So it is as good as you're giving your personal audience to him. So Nityananda Prabhu asked Govinda, Mahaprabhu's personal servant, and got his bahirvas, his external cloth. And he took the cloth and gave to Bhattacharya, and Bhattacharya delivered the cloth to King Prataparudra, and King Prataparudra became ecstatic seeing the cloth of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He worshipped the cloth of Mahaprabhu as the personality of God himself. He worshipped the cloth. He had so much in happiness that he thought the Lord has personally arrived in front of me. So this was the third attempt. He got some mercy from the Lord. Still, Pratapa was not completely satisfied. Still, he hasn't personally seen the Lord. So he again requested Rai Ramananda, "Can you please do something?" So Ramananda Roy, he is a diplomat because he has worked in government service. So he know what is diplomacy. So he started thinking, how can I influence Mahaprabhu? So he thought, I will not talk about this request at all in the beginning. I will start speaking about the good qualities of the king. So he went to the king and he started talking about all the good qualities of the king. How such a great Vaishnava he is. And he is even ready to become a mendicant. And he is a pure Vaishnava. And he loves so much Mahaprabhu. Like that he started glorifying the king. And he has made all the arrangements for everything. To serve you and serve the devotees. So in that way, when Ramananda Roy started glorifying the king, Mahaprabhu's heart became very soft. He wanted to give mercy to the king. But at the same time, externally, he didn't want to do that. And Ramananda Roy told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, look, you are the Supreme Lord and you are completely independent. Since you are the Supreme Lord, you can do whatever you want. You can go and meet the king, there is nothing wrong. Who can tell the Supreme Lord, you are independent, you can do whatever you want. Then Mahaprabhu, he closed his ears and he told, I am not the Supreme Lord, I am just a conditioned soul, I am just a jiva. So I had to follow all the etiquettes of a sannyasi. In that way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demonstrated his humility. Then after this, he said, if a sannyasi does something wrong, people will all find fault with that. So being a sannyasi is not easy because everyone wants to find fault with sannyasis. So Mahaprabhu gave the example, if there is a beautiful white cloth, it's serene, it is looking very nice, and if there is a dot, an ink dot, if there is in that white cloth, what happens? Everyone will find fault with that cloth. Because no one will see the white cloth, everyone will see that black ink dot. Right? That's a general, if you have anything, if the white thing is there and if there's something black, everyone will see the black. In the same way, people will not see any good qualities, people will see only that bad quality. And he said, even if you have a big pot of milk, but if you add even a drop of liquor, alcohol into it, the whole pot of milk become contaminated. In the same way, even though I am doing everything perfectly, if I meet the king, then people will criticize me. So in that way, Mahaprabhu said, no, I cannot meet the king. But at the same time, Mahaprabhu said, still I can do one thing. According to Vedic injunction, son is the representative of the father. Because son is coming from the father. So instead of meeting the king, I am happy to meet the king's son. So Ramananda Roy was happy because at least it's a step forward. So he approached the king and informed that Mahaprabhu is happy to give mercy to the king's son. So they dressed king's son in a beautiful yellow garland. He was wearing a beautiful yellow dhoti, a beautiful garland and a beautiful tilak. So the son was in blackish complexion and he was looking like Lord Krishna himself. So they brought this son of the king in front of Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu, when he saw the yellow garment, that is basically yellow dhoti and the blackish complexion, and the king's son had a big lotus like eyes, when he saw that, he had uddipan. Uddipan means stimulation out of ecstasy. So in Nectar Devotion there is a whole chapter on ecstatic symptoms. It's called the uddipan chapter. How a devotee become ecstatic seeing some of the character of the Supreme Lord. Sometimes it can be the cloth of the Lord, it can be the flute of the Lord, or it can be the garlands, it can be some qualities of the Lord, hearing some pastimes of the Lord, or sometimes seeing tulsi plant, the devotee goes into ecstasy. In the same way, when Mahaprabhu saw king's son, he went into ecstasy and he embraced this boy and he told, "You help me remember the son of Nanda Maharaj Krishna." And when Mahaprabhu embraced this young boy, he went into ecstasy. He got love of Godhead in perfection. The king's son started loudly chanting, "Krishna, Krishna," and he started dancing. That's what happens when one is in ecstatic love of Godhead. He couldn't do anything. He started chanting and dancing. And then he got love of Godhead. He became a Prema Bhakta. Just young boy, he became a Prema Bhakta. And they took king's son to King Pratapirudra. And Pratapirudra embraced his son. And when he embraced his son, he got the same ecstasy as embracing the Supreme Lord. He became ecstatic because his son was surcharged with Prema Bhakti. So this was a great step forward for the king. Still, the king couldn't get the audience of the Lord. And interestingly, this king's son became an associate of the Lord. That when the Lord performed further pastimes, this young boy would be with Mahaprabhu. So he became an associate of the Lord. Now, king is taking the next opportunity to serve. See, king is looking for an opportunity to please the Lord. Just like, you know, the customer service, we can give the example of customer service. Good companies in customer service, if there is a problem with the customer, they are ready to serve. "How can I help you?" They really do it. Have you seen that? You know, they're really good customer service care is there for some company. Whatever problems you call them, they will do it. Why? They take this as an opportunity to serve the customer so that they will come back to us, buy more things, they invest more money in us. So it's fully materially motivated. Here, king is taking all the opportunity to get the mercy of the Lord. And Mahaprabhu requested Bhattacharya and other officials from king's side that we want to clean the Gundicha temple. Because after Rathayatra, the Lord has to rest in the Gundicha temple. So he said, "Can you make the arrangement to clean the Gundicha temple? I want to personally do that, to clean the temple." So all the devotees told, "It is not your service to clean the temple. You shouldn't do it. Someone else can do that. But if it is your wish, then you can clean the temple." Then, because all these devotees told Mahaprabhu that king has ordered that whatever is the wish of Mahaprabhu, they have to be fulfilled. So they arranged hundreds of pots, hundreds of brooms. Then the whole Gundicha margin, cleansing of Gundicha temple took place. So with that, Mahaprabhu was very pleased with the king. Why? Because the king arranged everything for Gundicha margin. So this is a step forward for Mahaprabhu. Next is the Rathayatra festival. Because the Gundicha temple is clean, now Rathayatra is going to start. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was present to witness the entire Rathayatra and to participate. And King Pratapirudra made all the arrangements even better than previous years for this Rathayatra. So Pandu Vijay, for that the Lord Jagannath brothers Subhadra, they came out from the temple. And King Pratapirudra personally started sweeping the floor to invite the Lord. So when Mahaprabhu saw that, he was very pleased. He saw the king, even though the king, he had such a high position, he is ready to accept such a menial service for the Supreme Lord. So Mahaprabhu was very softened seeing the mood of service of King Pratapirudra. And he understood, "Yeah, I'm going to give mercy to the king." Still he hasn't given the mercy. Okay. Next, as the Rathayatra was going on, Lord Jagannath, Balaram, Subhadra, they will stop at one place. And Mahaprabhu and all the devotees, they would dance in front of Rath cart. And they were all dancing. And Pratapirudra, along with servant Harichandan, they were placing themselves rightly to see the dance of Mahaprabhu and other devotees. So they were at the back and they were seeing how Mahaprabhu, everyone is dancing. And they were behind Srivas Thakur. So Srivas Thakur was in ecstasy and he was dancing. And king's servant Harichandan, he tried to push aside Srivas Thakur. So when he tried to push aside, initially Srivas Thakur didn't care because he was in excess. He was just simply chanting and dancing. And when the Harichandan persisted in moving Srivas Thakur so that king can get the vision of the Lord, Srivas Thakur turned around and gave a slap on the face of Harichandan. Then Harichandan became a little bit angry. Why are you doing this to me? Then Pratapadudra, he pulled Harichandan and told Harichandan, you got such a great mercy from a pure devotee. You have to consider this as an honor that you got a slap from a pure devotee. And even I didn't get this opportunity. So you have to honor this opportunity. So this was the consciousness of the king and Mahaprabhu, because he is situated in everyone's heart. He understood the consciousness of Prataparudra. So this was a very incident. It shows the consciousness of Prataparudra. Still, he didn't get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Then next, this kirtan continued. Mahaprabhu was chanting in ecstasy and he was moving here and there and dancing. And at one point, there was no one near Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu would jump high in the sky and he would just collapse on the floor, and devotees would feel so much of pain because Mahaprabhu is now jumping in the sky and now just collapsing just like a rod on the floor. They would think all his bones would have been completely broken and they would feel such a pain. And at this point, there was no one around Mahaprabhu, but king was there. King immediately went and he took Mahaprabhu. He helped him to stand. And when he saw that, then Mahaprabhu, he was in internal consciousness, so he was unaware of what's happening externally. But when he came to consciousness, he saw the king. And he saw that the king was, king helped him to come back to external consciousness, and he was touching the king. Immediately, Mahaprabhu said, Raja Dekhi Mahaprabhu, Karen Dhikar, Chi Chi, Vishesh Parcha Hoile Amar, Chi Chi, Che. You know, the materialist has touched me, go away. The Lord Himself chastised Prataparudra. So it is mentioned that the Lord was completely satisfied with King Prataparudra, but to set an example for his associates that they should never get involved with sense gratifiers. So to set that example, Mahaprabhu get the mercy of the Lord. Then, okay, Rath Yatra continued and the Lord went, and Mahaprabhu was very much tired, and they all went to a garden, that was Jagannath Ballabha garden, and they started resting in the garden. So Mahaprabhu went beneath a tree, he was lying down and he was sleeping. So that time, Sarvabhava Bhattacharya told King Prataparudra, you forsake all your royal attire, royal garments, and you just dress like a normal person, just like a normal devotee, and you go and recite the Rasa Pancha Adhyaya from Srimad Bhagavatam 10th Canto, the 5 chapters describing the intimate pastimes of Krishna and gopis. So Prataparudra, he went in very normal clothes, and he went and approached Mahaprabhu, and he started massaging the feet of Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu really understood what was going on, because he is the Lord, he knows everything. And he accepted the service of King Prataparudra. And then he started reciting the verses starting from Gopi Gita, starting from Jayati Tethikam. And like that he started reciting. When it came to the verse Tava Kathamrutam, the very famous verse, Tava Kathamrutam Tapta Jivanam, when it came to that verse, then Mahaprabhu started, he became ecstatic and he gave all blessings to King Prataparudra, and he embraced King Prataparudra and gave full mercy. So in that way we can see it took long time and long attempts from the side of King Prataparudra to get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the king was persistent, determined, and at the same time very intelligent to take the right steps to influence Mahaprabhu. So we can see even such a great devotees, they are showing the example how to get the mercy of the Lord. So why we narrated this pastime, in the same way we need to have some determination in executing devotional service. Otherwise, we will not succeed. So determination is a quality that we need to develop. And it actually develops gradually as we progress in bhakti, progress in our sadhana and seva. Okay, so I stop here and see if there are any quick question. Maybe one question, because we don't have time. Yeah.
You mentioned regarding nishtha.
Yeah.
Nishtha starts when you are 75 years and 25.
That's right.
So
We may not know what is 75% because we don't have any meter in the heart. You know, each time we chant, each year we come to the temple, you know, the clock is ticking, you know, and now it's starting from 1, 2, 3 up to 75. No. One can know when one is in nishtha, the gross anarthas are not disturbing us so much. What is disturbing our hearing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra when we are chanting? Material desires and unwanted things in the heart. So when we are able to fix our mind in chanting nicely, most of it, then we can understand, okay, we are approaching nishtha. This is day after day. Now we may be able to hear chanting once in a while or here and there, but when it is steady, then one can know, okay, we are approaching nishtha stage. But it is a very large, long platform, so one can go deeper and deeper in that. And a little bit of taste is also there in nishtha. The actual taste is in ruchi, but even in nishtha there is some taste in chanting and hearing Krishna's names. And naturally, when one is fixed in nishtha, when one is hearing Krishna's holy name, his form naturally comes in the mind. Okay, so in anasanirvati, one should try to hear the holy name. And when one is in nishtha, when we are chanting Krishna's name, one is able to see Krishna's form. Not in the Sachidananda form manifested, but in the form of the deity or in the form of the picture, but that's natural. So that form will enhances the hearing of holy name. But artificially in anasanirvati, if you try to imagine the form of the deity or the picture, that will distract us from hearing Krishna's name. Rather, in nishtha, the meditation on form of the Lord, which comes naturally, will help us to hear the holy name. So that is, then one can understand, okay, one is slowly approaching the stage of nishtha. It's not black and white, it's a stage, so it happens gradually. Okay. It's 9 o'clock. I stop here. I think we'll stop here. We can talk later. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.